Today's daf is Erev and daf Ayin Tes. We left off on the bottom of daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the page. We recall we had a Mishnah at the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis that discussed not if you have a wall between two chatzeros, but if you have a charetz, if you have a ditch in the ground between two chatzeros, when that's considered to divide the chatzeros in the sense that they're going to have to make separate a Reuven if it's 10 tefachim deep and it's 4 tefachim wide. But then the Mishnah had distinguished between a charetz that's filled up with kash or Tevin versus if it's filled up with afar or tsraros. We said that if it's filled up with kash or tevin, it's still considered a divide between the two chatzeros, and therefore it's still ma'arvin shnayim, but not echad. They have to make two separate erevin. But if it's filled with afar or tsraros, it's filled with dirt or rocks or pebbles, ma'arvin echad vein ma'arvin shnayim, then it's considered to be totally filled in. It's considered just like part of the ground, and therefore it becomes one big chatzer. So in today's daf, we're going to start by asking a stira between two Mishnayos about whether we assume that rocks are permanently abandoned, even when the owner never says explicitly that he's permanently abandoning them in that spot. And the Gemara is going to have three ways to resolve that stira. The Gemara is then going to give certain qualifications for a 4 tefach board to serve as a bridge, because the Mishnah mentioned that you can have 4 tefach board serve as a bridge between two sides of the ditch, between the two chatzeros. And then the Mishnah is going to discuss a haystack that divides two chatzeros, and whether people are allowed to remove anything from that haystack, because after all, if the haystack is the mechitza, you might remove too much that it's going to take away the mechitza and cause problems of carrying in each of the chatzeros. And the first half of Amud Beis is going to go through line by line of the brisa that discusses the haystack in the middle of a house that divides two chatzeros, and it's going to find the chiddush of each line of the brisa that we mentioned on the bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss the procedure for Shitufei Mavuos. All new discussion. How do we actually do a Shitufei Mavuos? And that's going to lead us to a list of halachos that were taught by the Sabbe de Pumbedisa that have nothing in common with each other other than the fact that they were all taught by the Sabbe de Pumbedisa. So that's going to be at the very end of the daf. So let's pick up again three lines from the bottom of the page. Malei Afar. The Mishnah had said that if you fill this ditch that's in between the two chatzeros with dirt or with pebbles, Ma'arvin Echad Ve'in Ma'arvin Shnayim, then it's one big chatzer. They have to make one big eruv. They cannot make two separate eruvin. So says the Gemara, va'afilu b'stama. Is that true? Even if you didn't say explicitly what your plans are for those rocks and that dirt, whether you plan on removing them or you plan on leaving them there forever, just stam, you put them there. So does it really necessarily become part of the ground just by putting them there b'stama? Va'tanan, we have a Mishnah. If you have a house that has a tumas mace inside of the house, and you fill the house with afar or tsraros, with rocks, with pebbles, and you're mevatel the rocks and pebbles there, then we assume that it's batel, that the house is considered as if it's totally filled in, and there's no longer an ohel. So what happens if there's tumas mace, and there's no ohel, there's no open airspace of a tefach above the mace? So it's like when you bury a dead body in the ground. If the dirt goes right on top of the dead body, the tumas shoots straight through the ground and goes all the way up. Ad l'rakia. If there was an ohel, if the mace is in a house, and a house has more than a tefach of space above the mace, so the tumah would stop at the roof of the house, at the ceiling. But if it's filled in with afar or tsraros, so we view it as if the whole house is filled in. There's no open space there, and therefore it's batel, provided you were mevatel it. But what do we see? Bitlo in, lo bitlo lo. That only if you're mevatelit. It doesn't work bistama. Bistama, we don't assume you're being mevatelit, even though we're dealing with tsraros, we're dealing with afar. Same thing we said in our Mishnah. So it seems like a stira. On the one hand, our Mishnah assumes that afilu bistama, even without saying that we want to be mevatelit, we still consider it to be filled in. But in Allah, the Mishnah says if a house is filled with straw or rocks, it's only considered to be filled if bitlo, if you specifically leave them there permanently. So the Gemara is going to have three ways to be miyashiv this stira. Answer number one, says Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Mantana Alos Rabbi Yossi. It's Machlokas Tanaim. The author of the Tana of the Mishnayis in Alos is Rabbi Yossi, and our Mishnah assumes not like Rabbi Yossi. Frak the Gemara, no, that's not going to work. E Rabbi Yossi Ipcha Shaminan Le. But we find Rabbi Yossi holds the exact opposite of what it says in Alos. Titanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Teven VeEinos LeFanoso Harehu Kistam Afar ubatel, that if you put straw there and you specifically say you have no plans of ever removing it from there, then it has the same status as stam afar. And what is stam afar? It's batel. So you see, Rabbi Yossi holds that when you put stam afar, when you put afar there without saying anything, it is batel. Afar va'asal lefanoso, if you put dirt there with the plans of return of removing it, hareu kistam teven v'lo batel, then it becomes like stam teven and it's not batel. But bottom line is, we see that Rabbi Yossi holds not like the Mishnah on Alos. Rabbi Yossi holds like our Mishnah, that when you put afar stam, we assume that it's batel, that you plan on leaving it there permanently. So we have to rephrase answer number one. Ela amravasi mantana eruvin, Rabbi Yossi hi. It's not mantana aha, Rabbi Yossi, it's Mantana Erevin, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the author of our Mishnah here in Erevin, but it's a Machlokas Tanaim. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar Tuma Ashabis Karamis. How can you ask a stira between Tuma and Shabbos? Two totally different areas of halacha. Hanach Isser Shabbos Tafilu Arniki Nami Mivatal Inish. When it comes to an Isser Shabbos, when it comes to things that you're not allowed to remove on Shabbos, even if a person left his wallet in the ground, it would be considered a batel, because a wallet is mutsa, so a guy is never going to remove the wallet on Shabbos. So that even that would be batel. So you can't ask Lagabe Halachos of Tuma, where you're not as easily mevatel things. In Hilchos Tuma, there's the bittel depends completely on your wants and desires of what you want to leave there, what you don't want to leave there, not on any other halachic considerations that may force you to leave something there. And answer number three, Rav Ashi Amar Bayis Acharitz Karamis. You simply can't ask a stira between a case of a house and a case of a ditch. It's not about Shabbos versus Tuma, it's about a house versus a ditch. When you have a ditch in the ground, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to fill it in so no one hurts themselves. That's what you do with a ditch. So it's much more likely that whatever you leave there, even bistama, is considered to be batel. You plan on leaving it there forever so that the ditch will be filled in. But a house, adraba, you never want to fill in a house. Who wants to fill in other than basements in this area? But typically people don't want to fill in open living space of a house. That's not something that people are interested in generally doing. So we don't assume that something's going to be batel because you're going to fill in the house. This sugya comes up in an interesting area of halacha that we would not have necessarily associated with. There is a major discussion about how close one is allowed to go to the Kosel HaMa'aravi. There is a discussion in the poskim. What is that the wall of? That Kosel HaMa'aravi, is it the wall of the Azara or is it the wall of the Harabayis with a significant nafkamina? If it's a wall of the Azara, that means that the Kotel Plaza is on the Harabayis itself. And the Harabayis, some Tumas Ziva is not allowed to go on the Harabayis. And every Amaretz has a status of Zav. Someone who's Tumas Meis is allowed to go, but someone who's Tumas Ziva is not allowed to go on the Harabayis. And every Amaretz has status of Tumas Zav, and we're all Amaratzim in Hilchus Tumas Tara, so none of us would be allowed to go there right up against right up to the wall if it had if the wall was a Kosel Azara. If it's a Kosel Harabayis, so then when we go to the Kotel Plaza, we're outside of the Harabayis, so it's perfectly fine. There would be no problem with going there. So the Achronim are done on this issue, and the Radvaz writes in a tshuva that he believes that it's a Kosel Azara, that the Kosel Ma'aravi is a Kosel Azara, and therefore one is not allowed to go, in his opinion, there. It happens to be, factually, that seems to be incorrect. Factually, it seems pretty clear that it's the Kosel Harabayis. But there is a discussion in the poskim. If one assumes, like the Radvaz, that it's the Kosel Azara, so why is it that so many people have always gone there? Why? What about Minig Yisrael Torah? What about Minig Avasein Biyadenu? People have always gone up to the Kosel Ma'aravi. So in Sefer Ira Kodesh Va'Migdash, he writes that the Radvaz, the first time he came to the Kosel Ma'aravi when he was in Eretz Yisrael by the Levaya of Rabbi Yeshua Yosef Kolbo, the Binyan Ariel, he didn't want to go to the Kosel because he was choshesh that it might be the Kosel Azara. But in the base Ridvaz, he quotes from the Binyan Ariel, he says that Hanachlam Yisrael Menem Neviim B'nei Neviim Heim. Why? Because even if it's true, even if the Radvaz is right, that this Kosel is the Kosel Harabayis, is not the Kosel Harabayis, it's the Kosel Azara. Nevertheless, he says, it could still be that it's mutter to go there. Why? Because we know that if you that it's not, what we're standing at is not the bottom of the wall. the wall went way further down. Why did the wall go way further down? Because the city went way further down. When they dig in Yerushalayim, they find a full city underneath what we're standing on. They just filled it in later times. They filled in the whole city with dirt and with other things, and they built on top of it. But we're really, the real city of Yerushalayim is actually beneath where we stand. So he says, so what's the status of such afar? Does that now become the floor of Yerushalayim or the floor of the Har HaBayis? Let's assume for a second the Kotel is the Kotel Azara. So where the Kotel Plaza is on the Har HaBayis. But is that really the floor of the Har HaBayis? Or maybe we're like levitating over the Har HaBayis. We're in the Avir over the Har HaBayis. There's a big discussion in Poskim. Are you allowed to take a helicopter ride over the Har HaBayis? So it may depend where. It may depend if you're going over the Har HaBayis or if you're going over the actual area of the Azara itself. But whatever if you assume that the Afar is Batel, then this is the new floor. Then this would have the status of the Har HaBayis. If you assume that the Afar is not Batel, so then it wouldn't have the status of the Har HaBayis. So he has this discussion. He suggests that maybe it depends on Asad Lefanoso, whether it's something that we plan on ever removing from there or we plan on leaving it there forever. Now, it's been there for a long, long time, this floor. So what's called Asad Lefanoso? How long do you have to plan on leaving it there? But he says the following svara. He says, va'afar zeh sheshlichu al makom achol. This is quoted in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, that this offer that they put in b'makom achol shemichutz l'kos la'azara, dino din offer she'asad l'fanoso. This is offer that we plan on removing one day, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, he's yivne beso b'karov, and he's going to get rid of all the junk that's in the way, and he's going to bring us back to the real old city of Yerushalayim. And since it's offer v'asad l'fanoso b'chol yom v'yom, if only in b'kol otishmu, if we finally are zocha to have a Yeshua, so therefore it's not going to be batel. And even according to Rabbi Yossi, that stam offer is batel. If we know that it's definitely asa lefanoso, so then it's not stam offer, then it's asa lefanoso, and then it's not going to be batel. Furthermore, he says, ein adam mevatel davar sheino shelo. The nachrim that put the dirt there don't have the right to be mevatel our Yerushalayim, so they don't have the ability to be mevatel the floor of Yerushalayim. So he says that's why the minhag of asein biyadeinu. That's why even if you hold like the Radvaz, you're allowed to go all the way up until the Kotel. It happens to be, but we hold not like that the Ravaz is probably incorrect anyway, that the Kotel is really the Kotel Har HaBayis, so we're allowed to go anyhow. But that's the Svara that he brings. There's also a discussion when we say Ein Asad Lefanoso. So what does that mean? For how long is it Ein Asad Lefanoso? Meaning when we say, so you don't plan on removing it. So does that mean forever? So the Ritva quotes B'Shem Rashi that it means that you're never ever going to need it. You're never going to want to remove it. And the Ritva disagrees. He says, no, it's enough that it's Zman Merubah, that for an extended period of time, it's Ein Asad Lefanoso. So in Maseches Sukkah, we have a similar discussion. And when you have a Sukkah that's L'mala Me'yasr Mama, if you have a Sukkah whose Schach is more than 20 amos off the ground, so one way to fix it is by raising the floor of the sukkah. If you raise the floor of the sukkah to a point where the top of the floor will be within 20 amos of the sukkah, that would be okay. But how do you raise the floor of the sukkah? You throw tevin down on the floor, so and you have to be mevatel it. How long do you have to be mevatel it? So the Ritva over there says it means kol zman. We'll get to the halach and sukkah, but the Ritva over there in the sukkah in that context says that by hilchus tumah and taira, you only need to be as long as it matters, as long as the tumah is still going to be in the house. Now, legabe sukkah, when you want to be mevatel migova esrim, Rashi Masechta Sukkah, Dav Dalet says that all you need to do is be mevatel it for shivus yimei achag. If you mevatel it for the 7 days of Yontif, that's good enough. And that's called einos lefanoso. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says it needs bitul liolam. You need to plan on leaving it there forever if you want it to become part of the floor. So the Rush in the first paragraph of Masechta Sukkah proves that Rashi is correct from our sugya, that Rav Huna Bredi of Shua, that something that's not nitel b'Shabbos is memayit the mechitza, something that you're not going to take away on Shabbos is memayit the mechitza, does take away the space in the ground, and you don't need to be mevatel liolam. An arniki, a wallet, you leave there, since it's going to be there the whole Shabbos, it's already mevatel the space in the ground. So just like when Shabbos it's enough to be mevatel it for the remainder of Shabbos, so on Sukkot, for the halacha of Sukkah, it's enough to be mevatel it for kol yemei achag for the rest of Sukkot. It's a very strong raya the Rosh has for Shitas Rashi. So where does Rabbeinu Chananel get this idea that you need to be mevatel at Liolam? It sounds like from our sugi you need to be mevatel for Shabbos Mestama by Sukkot. It makes sense. You'd only be need to be mevatel for the remainder of Sukkot. So in the Emek Bracha in Sukkot's base is miyashiv Rabbeinu Chananel that even Rabbeinu Chananel is moda that bittul zman is called bittul. Rabbeinu Chananel knows that if you mevatel for a period of time, that's also called being mevatelit. That which he requires bitul liolam is because he's worried that if we don't require bitul liolam, a person is going to be chozer on his bitul during that zman that he needs it to be batel. And therefore, any bitul zman is going to be suspicious to us because we're always worried that he's not really going to be mevatelit. As opposed to if a person is mevatel liolam bepiv, he specifically, explicitly says he's being mevatel liolam, so then we're not worried that he's going to be chozer. So that which he's mevatel, because if he can't take something on Shabbos, that's be'echreich, he's not allowed to take something on Shabbos. It's muktzah, something that he's not allowed to remove on Shabbos. So that for sure will work. That's a bitul liosa Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel will be moda, of course. Our sugya, bitul for the rest of Shabbos, that's for sure fine. Because there's no chance you're going to be chozer, or even you're chozer. You're going to change the halachos. The halach is, the wallet's muktzah, you're not allowed to remove it. By sukkah, what was the issue? You threw straw on the floor of the sukkah, and you say you're being mevatelit for all of sukkahs. How do I know you're being mevatelit for all of sukkahs? You might change your mind. You might decide on the second day of Chol HaMoed that you're interested in taking some of the straw, and then the whole bittul's not going to work. So that's what was behind Rabbeinu Chananel's shita. Not that bittul zman can't work, but that we don't trust it. We're going to trust it in Hilcha Shabbos because it's not up to you. It's the Halachos Muktzah that demand that you be mevatelit. But that we're not going to trust it outside of... we're not going to trust it when you do have the option of being chozer on the bittul. It's also interesting, the Gemara mentions in the Arniki, a wallet, we see over here, this may lead to into the discussion we had recently at Shalosh Shudas once, how much money does one have to give up for in order to avoid violating a lo saseh. So we know when it comes to mitzvah saseh, hamavazvez alivazvez yosem michomesh, no more than 20% of your money for mitzvah saseh. For lo saseh, kol hon beso, you have to give up all your money in order to avoid violating a lo saseh. What about a lo saseh midrabanan? How much money do you have to give up in order to avoid violating lo saseh midrabanan? So maybe this gemara is a little bit of a maramakom in that sugya, that you have your wallet there with all your money in it, and it could easily get ruined or lost. And what issue are we talking about over here? What's the losa? It's muktzah. It's an issur derabanan. And still, you need to leave it there. The halacha demands that you leave it there, even though it's a hefsin mamon of some sort, probably. Okay, but it's not a strong raya, but just a thought. Okay, nasal of neser sharoch of dal. The Mishnah had said that if you put a 4 tefach wide bridge over the gap between the two chatzeros, so that's like a Pesach between the two chatzeros, and therefore you have the option of making separate Eruvin in each of the chatzeros, or of joining both chatzeros in a single Eruv. So Amar Rav Loshana Loshnas on the Rachlo. That's only if you put the bridge across the width of the gap between the two chatzeros. That becomes a Pesach. Avla Orcho, but if you put this plank along the length of the ditch, afilu kol shuhunami, it doesn't need to be 4 tefachim wide, sharimiyat omidalit, as long as you're mema'it the actual ditch from being dalit tefachim, so then the ditch is not going to be mafsik between the two chatzeros. Meaning when you're using the board as a pesach, as a bridge to carry you from one chatzer to the other, so the din of a pesach is that a pesach needs to be 4 tefachim wide. But when you're not using it as a pesach, you're just using it to minimize the size of the ditch itself, so as long as the ditch is smaller than the requisite shear of 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, so then it's not going to be a ditch anymore. So then it's going to be one big chatzer. V'chein shtei gzustrol zu k'neged zu. The Mishnah also said you can also put out 2 ledges from each side of the ditch that you can pass from one side to the other. Amar Rava hadamr zu k'neged zu in zu shalo k'neged zu lo v'zu l'malam izu nami lo amar el shiyesh bein zel zah shlosha tefachim avalein bein zel. So Rava adds 2 qualifications over here. The 2 ledges only work if the ledges are exactly even with each other, exactly across from each other, not where you'd have to go at an angle. And Rashi explains a couple of pshatim, but when one of his pshatim, Rashi explains, because if they're not directly across from each other, if you'd have to go from an angle from one to the other, so it would be, you'd be less certain about it, you'd be less secure in walking over it, and therefore a person would be more scared to do it, so it wouldn't be a proper passageway from one place to the other. And also, they need to be within three tefachim of height of each other. If they have to be exactly even with each other and within three tefachim of the same height as each other. If they're more than three tefachim off in terms of height, that also is not going to be a proper passageway from one to the next. So that's that's how Rashi writes. Now there is a discussion in the Achron, in the Prima Gadim, in Aruch Chaim Siman Shinayin Gimel discusses what if it's a very wide board that connects these two ledges. If you have a thin plank that connects the two ledges, so then I understand Rashi's concern. You're going to be scared. You're not going to want to walk securely if the ledges aren't directly across from each other. If it's at an angle, it just throws a person off when they're walking on an angle on a very narrow thing. But what if it's a very wide board? So then the angle shouldn't throw a person off too much. So the question, the Prima Gadim suggests that maybe if it's very wide, then the ledges don't have to be directly across from each other. The question is, how wide is wide? So that's you have to figure out exactly what he's talking about. Okay, so new Mishnah says the Mishnah on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Matvein shebein shtei chatzeros kavah asar tefachim ma'arvin shnayim vein ma'arvin echad. If you have a haystack in between the two chatzeros and it's 10 tefachim high, so that's a mechitza. It's a mechitza between two chatzeros, and therefore the chatzeros are separate chatzeros. They make two separate erevin. They may not join in the same erev. Elu machilim mikan ve'elu machilim mikan. Each guy, each person in the chatzar on each side can feed his own animals from the haystack. He can bring his animals to the haystack to eat off the wall. But once the haystack is less than 10 tefachim tall, so then it's not a mechitza anymore. So now it's one big chatzar, and you have to make one erev. You can't be ma'arev shtayim. Rashi writes that elu machilim mikan ve'elu machilim mikan. Rashi says the idea is that we're not choshesh that shema yisma'it hateven me'asara, that it might become less than 10 tefachim, and then the chatzeros are going to asar on each other. That we're not concerned for that, because it's not the derech of a behema to eat so much in one Shabbos that he's going to eat off the entire top of a haystack that serves as a mechitza between two chatzeros. How much is the animal already going to eat? B'Shabbos echad, says Rashi. So the Achronim ask on this Rashi, the Lashon Azav, on this Rashi, then it should only be mutter for the first Shabbos, and the second Shabbos you shouldn't be allowed to feed your animals anymore, meaning you're going to be living in this chatzar for a while. So Shabbos comes, and then the next Shabbos comes, and the next Shabbos comes. Ultimately it's going to eat enough to eat off the top of the haystack. So what does it mean Shabbos echad? So he says probably what Rashi means is that if no part of the haystack, no part of this mechitza is lower than 10 tefachim, then you're allowed to keep feeding the animal. Why? Because even if part of it dips below 10 tefachim, they're not going to ask around each other. It's only if you have a pirtz of more than 10 amos that dips below 10 tefachim. That's when the two chatzeros are going to ask around each other. Because short of that, if the pirtz is less than 10 amos along the length of the wall, then it's just a pesach. And then they have the option of ma'arvin shnayim, ma'arvin echad. So they're ma'arvin shnayim, so it's perfectly fine. It's only going to be a problem if the wall dips to under 10 tefachim along a span of more than 10 amos. So probably Rashi means b'Shabbos Achas that's not going to happen along a whole span of 10 amos. If part of the wall is already below 10 tefachim, then you probably shouldn't feed the animals at all. Then maybe Rashi would say that then it could happen. One Shabbos, the next Shabbos, you shouldn't feed your animals at all at that point in time. Okay, so we said that if the tevin is nisma'it, less than 10 tefachim, then it's ma'arvin echad ve'in ma'arvin shtayim. So Rashi says, well, what does it mean nisma'it? It means nisma'it during the week. So they want to decide. Going into Shabbos, they look at the wall and they see that it's only nine, the haystack is only 9 tefachim tall. So they should know that they have to make a single Erev. They're not allowed to make a double Erev. Tosrid points out you have to say that it means Nesmayit during the week. Because what does it say? Ma'arvin Echad ve'ein Ma'arvin Shnayim. You should make a single Erev. You can't make a single Erev if it just happens on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make an Erev on Shabbos. So obviously it's talking about during the week. And that's what the Beis Yosef writes in Orchaim Sim and Shinayin Beis, that if it's Nesmayit b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Ma'ariv Echad, because you're not allowed to be ma'ariv on Shabbos. So the Bach points out that what about that? What taka is the halacha? What if it's nismayit on Shabbos? So the Bach says, well, then we apply the principle of Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. Since it was okay that it was 10 tefachim high when Shabbos started, so hol v'hutra hutra works that it's going to stay mutter for the rest of that Shabbos. The Taz says that the divrei Bach are in a muvanim. He doesn't know what the Bach is talking about. What's so hard to understand what the Bach is talking about? Hol v'hutra hutra is a concept we use all the time in Erevin. So the Acharim explained probably what bothers the Taz is that hol v'hutra hutra is a din in Erev. It's typically not a din in mechitza. That you're going to say a mechitza comes down, that it's called that the mechitza is there, that it's a ki'ilu, the mechitza is there to divide them. That we wouldn't say, but an Erev is gone. So you say hol v'hutra hutra. So the Bach of Matzahs isn't there anymore, but don't worry, the Bach of Matzahs already took effect for this Shabbos. So that's the discussion. Will we say the same thing when it comes to mechitzas? Let's see the Gemara. Amrav Huna, volvad shelo yitin l'toch kupaso v'yachil. You can have your animal eat off the haystack / wall, but you're not allowed to start filling up your bags and pockets with hay from the wall. Then you're going to take too much. So says Gemara, l'ukme shari, are you allowed to really stand your animal upright against the wall to eat from it? V'amrav Huna, amrav Yichanina, mamar adam espeemta al gabi asovim b'shabbos, ve'in mamar adam espeemta al gabi muktza b'shabbos, that a person is allowed to stand his animal by asavim, by grass on Shabbos, but not by muktza. So it says Gemara, dekayim laba'apa va'azal v'yachlum. No, you don't stand right there and actually, you're not mokim it b'yadayim, or you stand the animal right there against the wall. You just stand in its way that it doesn't have the ability to walk away from it. And then the animal itself, if it doesn't have, if you block it in a little bit so that you're in its way, it's not going to be able to easily walk away. So we'll go to the haystack and we'll lead off of the haystack. So that's what you're allowed to do. V'lo yitein l'toch kupaso tevin, but you're not allowed to put tevin into your own kupa, into your own bag. So says Gemara v'atanya. If you have a house that's in between two chatzeros, meaning as Rashi points out, v'shnei batim mishtei chatzeros psuchen lo. Two houses from two different chatzeros are pasuach into this one. Umil'uhu tevin, and you fill it up with tevin. Ma'arvin shnayim ve'ein ma'arvin echad. So then you're allowed to, you make two separate erevin. You cannot make a single erev because this tevin wall divides the two chatzeros. Zenos in the toch kupasul v'yachil, v'zenos in the toch kupasul v'yachil. But if someone from either chatzer wants to fill in his basket with tevin, gezunteid, he's allowed to do so. But if the wall dips to under 10 tefachim, now everything's going to be asur, the two chatzeros are going to asur on each other. What should you do? Noel is beso, if it dips within 10 tefachim, so you lock the house, and you mevatel your own rishus, and therefore he's going to be the asur to take anything out from his bayis to his chatzer, because he's mevatel rishus, so the whole bayis is considered like a different chatzer, but the other guys will be allowed to carry in the chatzer. V'cheina to omer v'gov shel tevin shebein beis tchumei Shabbos. And the same is true when it comes to a pile of tevin Rash says gov shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos, a bor rachav lahachnas bo tevin, a wide pit that they put tevin that's between two tchumei Shabbos. So what does that mean? The same is true as Rashi points out v'im bein shnei tchumen hu chetzio b'tchum yirzu v'chetzio b'tchum yirzu. This pit that has tevin in it is half in one city's tchum and half in another city's tchum. Elu notlin v'yochlim mitoch tchuman b'yom tov v'chein elu v'ein choshen shema elu yichum min ha-tchum ha-sheni. People from the tchum of city A are allowed to take from their side of the bar that's still within their tchum. People from city B are allowed to take from their side that's within their tchum, and we're not worried that they're going to take from the other side, from the part that's not in my tchum but in my neighboring city's tchum. But katani mia, why do we quote this whole brisa, which we're going to spend time on Amin Bey, just going through line by line? Why do we quote the whole brisa? For what it said at the beginning. It said that you have this haystack wall and you're allowed to put it into your bag, you're allowed to fill up your basket with it. So but we just said before that you're not allowed to fill up with your basket with the blavad shalo yitev l'toch kupas. So we said Samri bayis kivin deika tikra ki mifchis minkar le'milsa hachlo minkar le'milsa. So there's a big difference. The haystack that we're talking about in this brisa is inside of a house. So since by a house, you have the visual of being able to see how far the top of the wall is from the roof of the house, you're not going to come to take so much off that it's going to become less than 10 tefachim, because you're going to see it dipping. You're going to see as it's getting close to that mark, because you're able to visualize the difference between the top of this wall and the top of the house. But we were talking in our Mishnah, a haystack that's in the open. It's an open airspace. So you can't, there's no way to visually see, to have a warning sign that you're getting within 10 tefachim, and therefore you're much more likely to remove something within 10 tefachim. To remove enough to the point that it gets within 10 tefachim of the ground. Okay, says the Gemara further. Now we're going to go back to discuss this price. If the Tevin gets to under 10 tefachim, so then they're both Aser. So ha asara shari, v'yafagav demidliya tikra tuva, shema mina mechitz, shema gils tikra shema mechitzos. So says the Gemara, wait a second. This implies that as long as the mechitza that's inside the house is 10 tefachim high, it's perfectly fine, it divides the house. Even though there's a roof on top of it, there's a ceiling, and these mechitzos clearly don't reach the ceiling. They're only 10 tefachim high. The ceiling of a house is much higher than 10 tefachim high. So don't we see from here, sugya that we had earlier in the Masechta, mechitzos shein magils l'tikra. What's the halacha when you have mechitzos that don't reach the roof? So don't you see that it would still be called a mechitza? So Amar Abaye, hacha b'baye shlosh asur chasur mashu askinan v'tevan asara. No, maybe the whole house is only a tad under 13 tefachim high. So since the whole house is only a tad under 13 tefachim high, so if you have a 10 tefach wall, it's within lavad of the top, so that's called mechitzas megils l'tikra. Not a very livable house, right? But it would be a very, very low house. But nevertheless, that would still have a din of a bias l'gabe hilchus mezuzah, l'gabe hilchus sukkah, l'gabe hilchus everything we consider 10 tefachim high to have a din of a house. V'rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua amar, afilu teme b'bayis hasara, even if the house is only 10 tefachim high, v'teven shiva umashahu, and the haystack is 7 and a mashahu tefachim, the kalpacht mishlosha kalavadami, because it's still within 3 tefachim of the ceiling, and it still counts as a 10 tefach wall. So says Gemara, bishlam l'abayi hainu duktani me'asara. Well, abayi makes a lot of sense. If the house is just under 13 tefachim, and the wall needs to be 10 tefachim, I understand why we say as long as you're not mima'it the haystack from being less than 10 tefachim, because you can't be ma'it from less than 10 tefachim. El Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua, ma'imei asara. What Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua says, that it just can't be under 7 plus tefachim. It can't be less than 7 tefachim. So why does it say me'i asara? So mitoras asara means from having the halachic status of a 10 tefach wall, which would mean that together with the lavad and the actual haystack, it would have to be 10 tefachim. That's what Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua must say it means. The Brisa went on to say, so if the haystack comes down, Shnei and Asurin, they're both Asur. Shema mina diur naban b'shabas Asurin. Oh, so this educates us on another sugya. If new residents arrive on Shabbos, that they have the ability to Asur. Because here on Shabbos, you're exposed to new residents. So says Mar Dilma de Imit Me'atmal. No, maybe we're talking about that already, the haystack already became smaller from the day before. So what should he do? He should lock up his house and be mevatel rishus. So Tarti, he has to do both, lock up his house and be mevatel rishus. Hachi kamer. No, what it means to say is, oh, Noel is beso, either lock up his house, oh, mevatel his rishus, or be mevatel his rishus. Meaning either one is, if you're Noel is beso, he's megaladas that he's removing himself from that house, and that does count, that itself is a bittel, or he could verbally, explicitly be mevatel rishus. Or it could be that maybe dafka over here you actually need to do both. You need to be Noel Beso and Mevatel his Rishos, because once he's used to carrying in the house, we require extra safeguards. It's very likely that he will continue to want to carry there. So next line in the Braisa, who aser v'chaveru muter. So he said that he, the guy who's mevatel rishus, he's aser to carry, but the other people are muter. So pshita, of course. So lo tzricha dehader idach batel lechavre. Now even if the other one then turns around and mevatel rishus back to him, va'kamash milan deim mevatel v'chazer mevatel. And this talks about another sugya that we had earlier in the Masechta about mevatel v'chazer mevatel. Can he be mevatel rishus back after it has been mevatel, has been become batal to you? So the answer is no, according to this braisa. And the same is true with a pit full of teven that's between two tchumei Shabbos. Each city is allowed to fill up from their own side of the pit. So pshita, of course that's okay. Now the chiddush is that even if you hold that tchum Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, like Rabbi Akiva, that tchum is d'oraisa, and therefore you might think that this is a reasonable gzeira to make, that we don't want you filling in from a pit, which part of the pit is outside of your tchum, so kamash malan, no such gzeira is made over here. That is the end of the discussion of mechitzos between two chatzeros and the ditch between two chatzeros. Now we move on to, okay, let's make a shitufei mavuos. What do we do if we want to make a shitufei mavuos? Ketzad mishtafin b'mavuos, says the Mishnah. Maniach esachavis, you take the barrel of wine, whatever the food that you're going to use, va'omer harezu l'kol b'nei mavui, and you say, this barrel now belongs to everybody in this mavui, and you need to make a kinyan. So mezaka lehen, you have someone make a kinyan on behalf of them, either al yidei b'no bito agadolim, you can have your adult children over bar bas mitzvah to make the kinyan on behalf of everybody else, val yidei avdo v'shivchasu ivrim, you can have your Jewish eved or shivcha do it, val yidei ishto, or your wife can make the kinyan. Aval einu mezake lo yidei b'no bito akatanim, who can't make the kinyan are your children under bar bas mitzvah, v'lo yidei avdo v'shivchasu akananim, nor your non-Jewish servants, mipnei shiyadan ki yado, because that's just considered an extension of your hand. So someone outside of yourself needs to make the kinyan. If you're the one that owns the chavis, someone outside of yourself needs to make the kinyan on behalf of everybody else. So in our Mishnah, it seems pretty clear, you want to be mezakeh the erev to everyone in the chatzer, banav ubnosav is okay, as long as they're not ketanim, as long as they're gedolim. So there is a machlokas amorayim, when it comes to a metziah, what's considered a katan, what's considered a gadol. In Bab Metziah Daf Yud Beis, Metziah's b'no b'to ha-katanim harei l'shalo. The Mishnah says that if your b'no b'to ha-katanim, your children that are katanim, find a metziah, it belongs to you. But Metziah's b'no b'to ha-gadolim harei l'shalahem, then it belongs to them. And the Gemara over there says that midah raisa, katan does not have the ability to be zocha in something, and the rabbi, I mean, to make a kinyan, and the rabban were misakin that a katan should be able to be zocha liatzmo, because a katan finds a metziah, and so why is it that a katan finds a metziah, it's harei shalaviv? So that's a machlokas amurayim over there between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel holds that a katan and gadol that the Mishnah is talking about is katan mamish, gadol mamish. It means bar bas mitzvah. When a katan finds a metziah, he runs right away to his father, and he doesn't keep it by himself, and therefore they made a takana that the metziah is shayach to his father, because that's the nature of a child. A child finds something, he runs home, look mommy, look daddy, look what I found. Rabbi Yochanan holds, no, we're not talking about katan in age. When we say katan over there, it means someone who's someich al shulchan aviv, even though he's 15, 16 years old, but he's still being supported by his parents. When we say gadol, we talk about someone who's not someich al shulchan aviv, even if he's 11 years old, if he makes his own living, he has an internet business or something, that he's able to support himself. So the reason a katan's matzah metziah is harei shalaviv is because since he's so mechal shulchan aviv, his father's mefarnes him, so the chum were mesakin that the father should be zoch in the metziah, that there shouldn't be eva, shouldn't create animosity between father and child when the father looks at the kid like he's a leech. The kid only takes and doesn't give anything. So at least when the kid finds something, let it belong to the father as well. So that's the machlokas. It turns out, according to Shmuel, katan and gadol is tali on shnos of shaladim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not tali on years, it's tali on whether he's somech l'shulchan aviv. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim. What about the din of zechias eruv for b'nei ha-mavui? Our Mishnah is also mechalik between a katan and a gadol. You want to be mezaka the eruv for everybody else, al yidei b'no bito ha-gadolim, but not al yidei b'no bito ha-katanim. So what do we mean? Is that the same machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan? What's considered a katan and what's considered a gadol? So Rabbi Natam in Tosas Dibra Maskil Umezake over here writes that just like Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan argue by a metzia what's called the katan, what's called the gadol, they also argue when it comes to shitufei mavuos, the legabi being mezake the eruv for the other bnei mavu. According to Shmuel, katan gadol is tali in how old he is, and when the father is mezake the eruv al yidei bno bito, they're not allowed to be mezake it for the other people in the mavu if they are under bar bas mitzvah, but Kitanim Bnosav Agadolim, even if they're Samech al Shulchan Aviv, is perfectly fine. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds by Mitziah V'Katan, it all depends on Samech al Shulchan Aviv. Here also, it all depends on Samech al Shulchan Aviv. That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban holds that Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, that Katan is called Samech al Shulchan Aviv, is only a din by Mitziah, because it makes sense that they were Choshesh, Chazal were Choshesh, for Eva, between the father and the child, that the father only takes it, and the father has to be Mefarnis and feed this child, and then the child's not going to give him anything. So that's where they made such a special din. But when it comes to Eruv, it's not going to depend on the support of the father gives the child. When it comes to Eruv, it's going to be a different din. When it comes to Eruv, it's going to be all about how old he is. So that's the fundamental machlokas Rishonim over here, how this relates to that sugya. The Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Eruvin writes, Aval tzorich lezakos lehen bo al yidei acher, v'yesh lo lezakos al yidei bno bito hagedolim, aval lo yidei bno bito haktanim. The Rambam does not say anything about Samech al Shulchano, and it's not Samech al Shulchano, he just says bno bito hagedolim, bno bito haktanim. So the Achronim say that the Rambam holds, not like Rabbeinu Tam, that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are cholek by Zechiah, by the Eruv, for the B'nai Mavui, just like they argue by Mitzias Mero Bito. Rather, he holds like the Ramban that we just said, that when it comes to Shituvim Mavuos, everyone agrees Katan Gadol depends completely on age. It doesn't depend on Someh Al Shulchano at all. The Rush writes like Rabbeinu Tam, that the same machlokas you have over there, you have over here as well. No, so how do we paskin? So the lach is like Rabbi Yochanan, and since we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, you can't be mezaka the Erev to the other B'nai Mavoi al yidei benoa somech al shulchano, even if he's 15, 16 years old. So if I want to be mezaka the Erev to the community, I cannot take my bar mitzvah age son, since I'm supporting him, since he eats at my table, I'm supporting him. So that's no good, says the Rush. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both deos, and he says, Tov lahachmer kishtein. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Samach Vav quotes both shitas, says that it's tov lahachmir. The Ramah writes b'diavad, if you're mezaka the erev al yidei b'no hakatan who's not somech al shulchano, or al yidei b'no hagadol who is somech al shulchano, b'diavad it is an erev because halacha k'divrei mekel be'erev, and there's a tzad to say l'kula in either direction. So b'diavad the Ramah says it would be okay. This is a discussion. Maram Rutenberg has a tshuva about giving tzedakah. Is there a mitzvah of tzedakah? Let's say if you were to go to my 13-year-old son and give him money, is that a mitzvah of tzedakah? He has no money. I mean, well, he has some, but he would definitely be an ani. He wouldn't be able to support himself for very long. But he's taken care of. His parents are taking care of him, Baruch Hashem. So is that called, the fact that he's Somech al Shulchan Aviv, does that mean, do we look at that as if he's an extension of his father, and if the father's not an ani, the kid's not an ani, and therefore it's not a mitzvah of tzedakah? What if he's over bar mitzvah? Or do you say, no, he's over bar mitzvah, he's his own person. The fact that I happen to be so nice that I give him all this tzedakah is a very nice thing, but other people could also give him tzedakah. It wouldn't be so bad if everyone else would help out, right? So that would also be a mitzvah of tzedakah. So that's a discussion Maram Rutenberg has. Maybe it depends on this issue of how we view a b'no gadol that's somech al shulchan aviv. Let's see in the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, chavis shel shitufei mevuos sarich lagbia min hakarka tefach. A chavis of shitufei mevuos, you need to lift off a tefach off the ground. I mean, that's the kinyan. Amar Rava, hani tarti mili sabi de pumbedisa amrinu. There were two things that the sabi de pumbedisa say. We're going to see that there's more than two things. Chadaha, one is this halacha, that you need to lift it off the ground. And idach, hamakadish and the other halacha that they say is that if a person makes kiddush, he has to taste a melol lugmav of the yayin, that you're not supposed to just have a little sip, you have to have a melol lugmav, a full cheekful of yayin. Amr of Chaviva, Hanami Sabi de Pumbedisa Amrinu. He says, I'll tell you something else the Sabi de Pumbedisa said. Dom Rabbi Dom Shmuel, Osen Madura Lechaya B'Shabbos. Rabbi Dom Shmuel says that you're allowed to make a fire to help a birthing woman on Shabbos. Savra Mina Lechaya in Lecholulo, B'Mosag Shabbos in B'Mosachamelo. So we thought, yeah, but not for a regular sick person, and only in the wintertime, not in the summertime. Seitmar, Amr of Chia Barab, and Amr Shmuel, Hik is Dam Venetstanin. Even if you just did some bloodletting and you feel very cold, Oslo Madur B'Shabbos, you can make a fire on Shabbos, Vafilu B'Tkufas Tamuz, and even if it's summertime and there's no reason why a person should be feeling cold, still you're allowed to make such a fire. So that's another statement of the Sabi de Pumbedisa, that you're allowed to light a fire for a birthing mother or any other sick person on Shabbos, even during the summertime. Now Gemara is going to tell us another thing the Sabi de Pumbedisa say, but that's going to lead us into tomorrow's daf. So just a word or two about Malol Lugmav. So there is a discussion. Beis Yosef writes, what if Beis Yosef writes in Simon Reishai and Aleph, Nir Elishim Nishpach HaKos Kodem Shiitom Enu Tzorech Lachzor L'Kaddish. Let's say this happened, someone asked me a shayla a couple of years ago that this happened, that they were making Kiddush, they finished saying Kiddush, and before they drank the Kos, the kid came and knocked the whole Kos down, and the whole thing spilled out. So what do? You just said the Brachi, said the Barbera. What do? So the Beis Yosef writes, Enu Tzorech Lachzor L'Kaddish, that which we say in Lo Tam, you're not Yotzei, it means you're not Yotzei the mitzvah ki tikna, but you're still Yotzei a little bit. It's just that you're not Yotzei the mitzvah in its ideal form. So the Magen Avraham doesn't like this at all. He doesn't think that this is correct at all. He says, a lot of times we say beferish that lo tam klal miyayin kiddush lo Yotzei de chova. And how could the Beis Yosef say not that way? So Magen Avraham says Beis Yosef clearly changed his mind later on. When he originally said b'diavad, you are Yotzei, he changed his mind. And therefore in Shulchan Aruch he paskins, not in the Beis Yosef, in Shulchan Aruch he paskins, if the wine spills out, you need to bring another kos, make a bracha on it, because if you don't bring another kos and taste from it, you're not Yotze Yuchiyavav Kiddush. And if you bring another kos and you make a bracha bar priyagaf and you taste from it, you're Yotze because you're Makadish al Yayin and you tasted the Yayin. Even though the Ti'imo was from a different kos than you made the Kiddush on, still that's good enough and you'd still be Yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush. Okay, there's more to say about Hashem. We'll pick up with the Sagat from Medisa tomorrow.